Hello?
Hello?
Hello? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you know the Royal Court always come to see me every year, and I love them coming in, but because I'm only on one night a week, I can't expect them to come in on a Sunday. God bless us, no. I'm just going to knock on that door because I think Cilla Black might be in. Hello?
You're my world, you are my night and day. All right, I'm wearing a piece.
Oh, Cilla, how are you? Oh, you made my day, made my day. Tell everybody who you are.
Well, I'm Keddie Sutton, and I am presently appearing in Scouse Nativity at the Royal Court. And you came and seen us, didn't you, the other day, Pete, and it was lovely. And we had a laugh, and it's just... Do you know what? We're having a real good hoot down here, and it's just total laughter therapy, and we're on till January the 13th. Yeah.
Now, before we talk about that, were you thrilled at the Everyman? Because I went to see every production. You were part of a rep company, which was great.
I know, it was brilliant, you know, because it's funny, really, because I'm always pleased to be part of a rep here, because for me, it's just a fantastic team down here. But of course, you know, you don't work, you know, all year round. So when I got asked to be part of the Everyman rep, yeah, I was over the moon. And do you know what? I had the best time ever. It was a brilliant group, and it was really, you know, quite a good mix of plays, wasn't it? Hey, look who's coming
tell
in.
Tell me which of the productions. Just shut up, I'm talking
Sally.
To her. Which of the productions you like most of the Everyman?
Well, do you know what? I really enjoyed them all, but I've got to say, Fiddler on the Roof, because everyone in the whole company was in that. It was a pure ensemble piece, and it was funny and it was moving. And I thought, you know, for me, that one was my fave. Although I ended up in being in them all, I wasn't meant to be. But I ended up being like a voiceover in the ones I wasn't.
Now, you said about me coming in the other night. I did come in the other night, and it is the most irreverent thing I've ever seen in my life. I have never belly laughed so much. And I won't spoil it, but when she gave birth, I fell off the seat.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any good Catholics watching, they'll be shocked.
Yeah, but there's a like little lovely little tongue-in-cheek lightheartedness about it as well. Well, or maybe it isn't.
I must have missed that bit.
I've got used to it. Can't believe I just said that. It's all from the norm.
I've got to ask, because we're going to speak to Lindsay shortly, and we're going to find out what character she plays. But did anybody, or has anybody checked, because she's flying all the time, does she wear knickers?
Well, to be honest, I do have as shepherds, we do have a sneaky peek. No comment.
Now, the biggest shock for me was Stephen Fletcher showing his bottom.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, see it close up every night. To be honest, I might take up fine art and do a little... I could auction it off at the end.
The last person on this earth I thought would be Stephen Fletcher showing his bottom.
Well, do you know what? I know he's cheeky, isn't he? And there he is getting his legs. He gets more attention for his legs and his bum than I'll ever get. So, I mean, you should come for that alone, really.
And of course, you fall in love with him. He's your love item in the show.
Well, yeah, I never, ever get a love interest. I normally get given a wart and black teeth. And,
stop talking about his bottom.
But even though I've got a tea towel on my head and I'm a shepherd for most of it, yeah, I'm like Sue Pollard. I get I'm the underdog that gets the handsome Elvis type in the end. Yeah.
Tell me, and I know you all get on really well and everything, and you're all great actors, but is it a hard show to do originally when you start rehearsing?
At first. I mean, it's always good fun because it's our theatre family and we all love each other to bits and have known each other for years. But we all, you know, help devise, you know, and bring the script to life. So there's, you know, we're changing bits, we're throwing pieces out, and, you know, the whole script just turns on its head. So it is quite intense and, you know, working long hours and devising, but it's really good fun as well because we worked with a new director, which was lovely, Cal McChrystal, and he specialises in slapstick and comedy. I think he was comedy consultant on Paddington 2, but Lindsay will... correct me if there's a different title. So he, you know, that was great, you know, working with a comedy, you know, specialist.
Well, it comes over. I think you've really upped your game. You know, I love the show every year, but I think it's West End stuff. It I can't explain. Oh. There's something different about it, and perhaps it is him putting it together more. But it seems to be. I don't know. I went home poorly with laughter.
Yeah.
I was in a terrible state. So what's your character? You just play one.
I play Lil, the shepherd. And then right at the end, I think I can say this, I played Jesus. And it was quite difficult in rehearsals because could I find a character for Jesus? And then in the end, it turned out that I could play him as Cliff Richard. So I channeled Cliff in as well as Scylla. I think they mess inside my head. And now I'm channeling in his teeth the way I did with Scylla. Yes, I feel as though I've nearly got him now.
And of course, you're keeping Scylla alive, which is great.
Well, yeah,
the show's
traveling
the country. The records are still selling, and her calendar's out, so you're keeping her alive.
Well, that's it, and everyone, you know, you can buy me stuff like that for me Christmas on my Christmas list. It'd be great, you
fantastic.
Know.
Fantastic.
You've got to keep it alive, haven't you? Icons.
Love you. I'm in the dressing room. I'm at the Royal Court. Backstage, they always come to me. This year, I'm coming to them because we've only got one night a week, and here she is, the lady who flies, and I can't believe it. Last time I saw anybody flying was Scylla, and she was flying at the Empire, and I always remember looking up saying, do you want a glass of champagne? She said, do you want a... Anyway, she did. What is your name?
I'm Lindsay Jermaine.
And what character do you play?
I play Angela Gabrielle, who's obviously the Scouse version of the Angel Gabriel. And I get to fly. Yeah.
Was there any problems?
No. I came in for like half a day's rehearsal. And it's flight with Floyd. And they trained us up. And when I come in, the guy who I met was the big guy. And I thought, he said, I've been doing this all day. The lads know what to do. And I thought, oh, great, OK. I think if he was, like, a little skinny fella, I'd have been like... But he was like, nah, it's great, you know, you'll love it. And so they took me, like, 6 inches off the floor, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's OK, go on, take me up. And I have to wear the harness, obviously, but then I also get stirrups, which is great, so I can stand up.
I noticed that, yeah. What about singing? Has it affected your voice at all?
No, because I thought it's... At the beginning, I can't... Because I sing Colour My World by Petula Clark. So in the beginning you can go, so you can color my world. That's what's going on. But I've managed to like sort that out now. So everything was getting tight. Color my world. No, but I'm all right now. Yeah.
Well, of course the girls used to do it in Queen of the Desert. Remember the three girls used to come down in Priscilla.
Well, I've never heard it before.
Well, they came down at every song. So all the mime acts. The pretend drag queens.
Yeah.
Three girls came down on wires and did the numbers and then went back up again. That's how it worked in there.
Well, I'd never heard of the song and it was Kevin who came in and said, "What about Colour My World?" And I was like, "Never heard of it." How it plays, and I said, "Oh, I love it." And then I found out it was from Priscilla. They do it in their show, so.
Well, I saw your rehearsals doing it because you put it online and it was fab. And you went, what about this? And I went, wow. Why does this show get better and better every year?
This year, we were very lucky because, as Keddie said before, we've got Cal McChrystal. He is a comedy genius. Pete, you would love him. He is so clever at what he does. He works a lot for Cirque du Soleil and the Gifford Circus. And he's a clown. He's a trained clown. And he always says Keddie's a clown because he that's in it. But he's just a genius. He hates a bare stage. He hates people just stood there singing. Something's got to happen. In this show, you know, we've got the crew coming on. We've got the cast pushing sets and arguing with the crew backstage about pushing the sets. And he just sees things that you think, oh, you'll never get away with that. Or, you know, you don't do that in theatre. He's like, yeah, we are. We're going to do it and we're going to push this to the limits. You know, and when we were, you know, when Mary's given birth at the end of Act One, it was like, you can't do that. And he was like, yeah, they'll love it. They'll love it. The audience will love it. And they love it. And he's got, you know, Mikey Fletcher singing Britney Spears' song, Go Baby Baby. And for ages, there was like it was going backwards and forwards of Mikey saying, you know, you can't really do that when the Virgin Mary's getting, yeah, they'll love it. Learn the whole routine of Britney and we want you to do it. And it just works. People don't know where to look.
So it's great then, you've got a new energy from him that's come in to an always successful show.
Yeah.
And he's actually pushed the limits, although you all know the audience and you know the theatre.
I mean, there's still things...
But he's opened...
Yeah, because Cal did the Royal for us as well. And there was things in the Royal, there was things in this that he said, I want you to say this. And we were like, no, you cannot say certain words within theatre. Yeah. And because he's from London and he's Irish, he was like, oh, just say it. You know, it was a word that you should never say. And we were like, no, we're standing our ground. So there is things that he's learning about this theatre as well, because, you know, no one knows this audience better than this cast do. And I think because we have been friends for so long, because We've all worked together. Every single one of us some way have worked together. That we know each other inside and out.
And what people don't understand is that's like me and Leanne Campbell doing 32 years of pantos. She knows when I'm going to dry. She knows when to feed
me. You can see the shutters.
And that magic between all of you comes over. And you know yourself as an artist, as a comic, a happy cast is a happy show. Yeah. And it gives another 100%.
Yeah. And you can tell by the spark in the eye when they think, oh, you're going to be a divil tonight. Yeah. I came on the other night, didn't I? And I said to Paul Duckworth, who was the innkeeper, I'm looking for my mates Mary and Joseph. They arrived not long ago on a camel. And his eyes lit up and he went, I think you mean a donkey. He couldn't wait for it. And as I was leaving, I call him a name and I go off. And he went, yeah, well, at least I remember my lines.
But that's what I love. Yeah. That's what I love.
But his eyes lit up. As you say, it's one or the other. You also get those actors where you see the shutters coming down. It's like, I haven't got a clue where I am. Don't know what I'm doing.
Do you get blasé over the audience reaction? Because The Royal, as you know, was my favourite piece ever.
Yeah.
This is definitely that near to a second, really that far away. Do you get blasé over the audience?
No, I don't think you can. Because every audience is different. Like Monday, we were saying, oh, now this is like a Tuesday audience, isn't it? Because they were quite up for it. Monday's normally like, oh, back to work day and stuff. But, and then Tuesday, we were going, oh, yeah, this is a typical Tuesday. You know, they're up for it and Christmas is coming. But, and you can't get blasé. You know, you've got to stay on the ball with them because they're with you all the way and they're waiting for the next gag and they're waiting for the next line and they're missing it because this show is such bang, bang, bang. Yeah. People are now coming back. There was a lady outside last night. She went, 3 times I've been. She said, I'm coming back in January. She said, bringing different people. She said, I'm still getting jokes that I didn't get the first time round.
Oh, that's great. Scout Nativity is going to break every box office, I believe.
I think so. Definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. I mean, the girls were saying, even in the interval, people are coming back out saying, can I reboot this? You can't get downstairs now for love nor money. The tickets are like gold dust. And that's quite nice to be part of a show.
And
the set is sensational. Oh, it's amazing. Mark Walters is such a genius. And you need to come backstage and watch backstage.
Because
The page turns on the front, all the other pages have to be turned. Yeah. So the crew are everywhere.
The crew are on stage all the time these days.
Katie Long steals the show for us. She's one of our techies. And she comes on, and when Mikey breaks a little bit of the set, she comes on and gives him a good whack with it. And she's great. She's got an ear. She's got a resting bitch face, don't we?
It's very funny, that. Now, listen, if I time this right, will I catch Stephen putting his G-string on?
You might too. And incidentally, I do wear one. I'm going to fly over.
Do you mind if I just see Stephen's
mine's,
rather than yours?
Mine's a G-ring. Right.
Why should people come and see Scouse Nativity?
It's fast, it's funny, and it's flipping brilliant. They'll love it.
And why do you think they should come?
It's a hoot, it's hysterical, and it's here till January the 13th.
Well, I've been delivered up to the boys, and I've timed it wrong. I thought if I got upstage in Scouse Nativity, I would actually see Stephen putting his G-string on. I am so annoyed about that. So annoyed about that.
You can help me if you want, please.
Why is it that big? Please tell me who you are and what part you play.
I'm Stephen Fletcher. I play Jerry the Shepherd, voice of God. Who else?
Wise man.
Balthazar. Call the midwife. Just, a random cacophony,
It is the most amazing show with the most ridiculous belly laughs.
Yeah, we're having a ball.
And incredibly irreverent.
Well, is it? Do you think it is?
Excuse me, a Christmas tree, and that's all I'm saying.
Well, I suppose. It's the way you look at it.
Well, I didn't want to look at it. I just saw the Christmas tree.
It could have been more irreverent, put it that way.
You made a comment when I spoke to you the other day, and I understand what you mean now. The director, totally different. Comedy genius.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He knows what he's doing, and he knew how to play all of us together. You know, we've all got good instincts together as a company. We've all worked together over the years, so we know what people's strengths and weaknesses are. And I think what Cal managed to do was just to fine-tune it all and make sure we were given way on stage in the right way that we should be doing anyway, so, yeah.
And what about your brother? Nice working with him?
It's great. It's great. It's really good. We've worked together before in another play. We did the Sunshine Boys together at the Epstein Theatre, but we've never been on stage. And we're in a bit, aren't we, but the crack's good and... You know, it's it's always good to work with your family.
What I saw the other night at Scouse Nativity, and people, by the way, I don't know if you realise this, are coming back three times now.
Really?
They're booking more and more because they're missing lines. I've missed lines. I missed lines because I was roaring with laughter. Roaring with laughter. But what is it that makes it work?
I don't know. I think it's just it's the timing, and it's not overplaying a joke, and it's realising when it's time to pull back on something and letting the audience roll with laughter. Again, that was a note we got from Carl, our director, was that all of his plays are like rolls of laughter. You never kind of crash one on top of the other. As soon as one is just about to fade, you hit them with another one. So there is a science to it, even if it looks like we're just having a laugh, you know.
What was the show like at the beginning? Because I know it's always changed.
Yeah.
The actual Raw show, how different is it to what you see now?
I think it's very different. I think the version that you're seeing is draft 8.11. I don't know how the maths worked on that one anyway, but it did change. And I think because we're all passionate performers and we want the best to come out of it, we didn't want to sit back and just think that'll do. It was about how can this be the best? So it took a while and it was a bit of a slog. And in fact, it wasn't until our final a dress rehearsal that we did the whole show from beginning to end without any stops. So we didn't actually know what the show was going to be like when we gave it to an audience.
Has it changed since you opened?
Little odd bits. And again, that's what previews were for before we opened in front of the press. We came in and tweaked little bits, fine-tuned little bits. But we've been quite disciplined, actually. There's only a couple of lines here and there that have changed, but we're so passionate about what we've created that we've kept true to it now.
And do we see Britney Spears in it?
We'd see a version of Britney Spears. he has a go. Yeah, I don't really get to watch that because we're a bit busy upstage doing our own thing. But yeah, Mike, he has a go, yeah.
Are the changes pretty quick?
Oh, yeah, but it's crazy backstage. In fact, it was more crazy when we didn't know what the show was we were doing. We were literally mental and we kind of half-dressed in one, realised, no, that's not for another five pages, it's this one. But now it's kind of, it's got its own little zen-like... Yeah. Movement backstage now. We've all got our own little routines. People kind of jump to each other's aid. And, lots of costume changes, yeah.
And, of course, because of your brother, who we're going to talk to in a second, who plays the main man, who doesn't have sex with the lady, but she gets pregnant.
Yeah.
The weather changes and the locust is the funniest thing I have ever seen. The pressure must be hysterical on that.
Well, we do... Again, it was one of our director's ideas. This is all about visual comedy and slapstick and all the stuff that is really, you know, fine-tuned. And I've said fine-tuned about 5 million times, but it's true. This is what the way he is. It's all the stuff of, like, you know, Laurel and Hardy and Groucho Marx, the Marx Brothers. It's all that type of stuff in this, lots of physical comedy. So we managed to portray a raging sandstorm. What is it, Mike?
A scorching sun.
A scorching sun. And a plague of locusts. With me, Andrew Schofield, and Keddie Sutton dressed in lycra, black leotards, and pumps.
Very funny. You have quite an easy time this one, don't
I
you?
I do, yeah. I'm made up.
Yeah. Well, who are you?
I play Joseph. I'm Michael Fletcher. I've been quite lucky this year. I've got one costume, and that's it. So I just have to... I'm a bit of a dresser backstage, helping everybody as and when, and watching everyone else panicking for putting on all-in-one black leotards, and while I just sit there and have a sip of my water.
I think the biggest shock of the whole show, I mean, there's a million of them, is the man I'm going to speak to who's gone out.
He's coming back in a second. Right,
it's the second half, because you've got this beautiful end of first act one, which is fabulous. Really, really enjoyable. And you think, well, what are they going to do next? And then all of a sudden, it's the look back on your marriage. I just couldn't believe what I saw.
Well, because all of these ideas, it was when we had a read through 3 weeks before rehearsals, and we were all sideward glancing at each other going, this is going to be great, this is going to be great. And it's so clever, because one of my friends actually came to see the show, and act one ends with baby Jesus being born. And he thought it was a one-act show. So he got off in the interval thinking, oh, well, job done, not realising that the show carried on and we're left to our own devices to talk about what happens 30 years later.
So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's such a laugh to do.
Have you been surprised at the way it's been reacted to?
So, yeah, I believe it's the best-selling show that the Royal Court's ever had and the fastest-selling show as well. Everyone's loving it. Touchwood, I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about it, which is great.
No. What about religious people? Do you think they could be offended at all?
Well, funnily enough, my family is very Catholic. and we've got, I had a deacon who came to see the show without telling me, and he messaged me on Facebook saying he absolutely loved it, best yet, because going back to what you said before about it's very irreverent, I think it's all done with a twinkle in the eye. And I spoke to one of my dad's cousins the other day, and I said, is it all right, Sue? Like, how is it? And she went, it's absolutely brilliant. And again, she's one whose opinion I was panicking about when we were thinking, oh, we can't, can we? Can we? Can we do this? And it's the, I think it's the way we're doing it. We could, if we did it dead-faced and harshly, it's all done with a smile and a wink.
Do you think that maybe something like Book of Mormon has helped?
Totally. Avenue Q, all of them. It's everything is sensitively dealt with, because it could be so much worse. Yeah. And I don't want anyone listening thinking it is a blasphemous show. It's not, and we've all tried to make it that it's not that. Playing Herod as the panto villain, for example, is brilliant, because he could be such a harsh character and could be something that everyone's feared. But instead, he's coming on, getting big belly laughs, and yeah, it's very good.
That's a great cue for me to go over and say hello to him. I love that. Hello, Herod.
Hello, Pete.
Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Paul Duckworth, and I'm playing King Herod in the Scouse Nativity.
Hysterical.
Thank you. there was lots of things in there that, like, and not really, it's kind of like a little bit trying for me. It's testing new stuff, like, because Cal McChrystal has introduced a lot more clown and sort of aspects of the performance with me, and he's given me a little bit of a free rein as well at times. Which is a bit,
it's worked. I promise you it's worked.
Well, it's the added pressure of making it. I go to the audience and they love it. I love getting booed and it cheese them all up. But there's also an element of just a good old, just good parody of a baddie.